Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Best Show Best, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show, these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Best. I do want to say the next caller, it's a little bit of a surprise. I didn't want to hype it up beforehand because somebody who I think is, there's a special guest, somebody we have not spoken to and somebody I've admired for a long time. It's, you like football, right, Mike? Well, this guy played for the Giants back in the 80s, from 83 to, I think, 87, where he set some rushing records that still stand. And everybody remembers when he scored two touchdowns in Super Bowl 21, of course, when the Giants came from behind to beat the Broncos, which was also his last ever NFL game. And then he went on to have a really impressive career and interesting career post NFL, starred in a few TV shows, and I'm sure everybody is screaming at their computer now that they know who this is. It's Dick Blevins, and he's a legend. Can only be talking about one person. It's exciting to have him on the show. Dick.
Hey,
Dick, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you for calling in. And it's an honor to have a real life NFL Hall of Famer on The Best Show.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. You know, it's a real pleasure to be here on Great Times.
Well, my name's Tom, and the show's not Great Times. It's called The Best Show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got that wrong here. Sorry. You know, I'm a little confused right now. I just got back from Sirius XM where I was doing an interview with this young guy. You might know of this guy. It was hard to tell just how old he was. It was very odd. Like, he seemed like an adult, but he dressed like a 15-year-old boy from the 80s. And he was wearing a big, like, oversized shirt that said UFO on it.
Okay.
Okay, uh-huh. And he was a big Giants fan. Like, he knew his stuff. But every time we'd get into a groove, you know, talking about the old days and the great games and the Super Bowl, he'd say that some musician that I'd never heard of was a good friend of his. And then he got distracted by this text from something called John 5, and then the interview was just kind of all downhill from there. So I'm just kind of, you know, still kind of recovering from that, I guess.
Sure. I think I know who that probably was. It was probably Eddie Trunk.
I can't remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
That's... At one point, he took off the UFO shirt and put on a shirt that said Angel.
Yeah, that I would be shocked if that was anybody other than Eddie Trunk.
Got it. Okay. Well, you know, I'll tell you, also, my brain is still in the Bahamas.
The Bahamas?
Yes, yeah.
What's all about the Bahamas for you?
Well, I was down there with the Neutrosfeld gang on their corporate retreat. It was a total blast. I'll tell you, man, the beaches down there in the Bahamas, spotless. Mm-hmm. And the accommodations were first rate. And the food, as you can imagine, with Neutrosfeld, it was exquisite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a trip that was literally the opposite of the fire festival, huh?
I'm not sure I know what that is. What is?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I guess let's get back to the football.
Yeah.
Dick, there's so much through your career that I'm dying to talk to you about that I want to discuss with you. And this actually is a big year because it's the 30th anniversary of the Giants winning that Super Bowl and the 30th anniversary of those two amazing touchdowns and of your final NFL game.
It's crazy, isn't it? I still can't believe it's been 30 years. It seems like yesterday. You know, it just seems like, you know, things that happened so long ago in the past, but they were such a big deal. They're just like, it seems like you're still living in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it just feels like, you know, a second ago I was parading that Lombardi trophy over my head in the locker room, you know, while Mark Bavaro was blasting Touch and Go by Emerson, Lake, and Powell on that ghetto blaster that he always carried around. And, you know, of course we were spraying each other with showers of white liquid, just having a great time.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, that was a great thing. I just said the ghetto blaster might not be the greatest phrase in 2017.
What do you mean? I don't get it.
But it's a very loaded, offensive thing, I believe.
Well, I'll tell you, we got loaded and were offensive that night after everyone cleared out of the clubhouse, that's
uh-huh.
for sure.
Sure. I'm sure you guys were really partying down after
we were, but you know, I'll tell you, I just feel so blessed to have been part of that team. You know, we were a true unit, and we came together with that one common goal of bringing the aforementioned Lombardi trophy to New Jersey.
Sure.
You know, I'll tell you, it's like Steve Herbers, the CEO of Nutrisvelt, says, no achievable goal comes without focus, drive, and clarity, and he's so right about that.
That's fair. If you're going to really do something, what was it, focus?
Focus,
yeah.
Drive, and clarity.
Sure, that kind of adds up to a winning formula, I guess.
And when we did, and I'll tell you, that win was extra sweet, not only because it was my last ever game, as you mentioned, but, you know, I'm a Jersey boy to the bone.
Yeah, that's true. You are from, you are a Newbridge native.
Born and raised in the slums of Little Hungary.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a section of Newbridge that a lot of people don't A, want to talk about, and B, don't want to know about.
Yeah, it's like Newbridge's secret, I don't want to say shame, because that sounds mean to the people who are there and they're just kind of doing what they can.
Well, it's true. You know, it was a very hard Scrabble existence. You know, we had some of the hardest Scrabble games that I've ever been involved with. It was definitely a winner takes all, you know, kind of aspect of those games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes like, you get to choose what you wanted if you won the Scrabble game.
Okay.
And sometimes it was a hand.
Sometimes it was what?
A hand.
A hand.
Yes.
Like a human hand?
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow. Those are rough streets.
They are, yeah. You know, and those were tough times too, Tom, you know, and it's a cliche to bring up goulash, you know, when you're talking about Hungarian culture, but it really was all we had. You know, at times it was used as currency, and you know, we'd brush our teeth with it. It was pretty much the only bright spot to our dim existence.
Was goulash?
Yes.
That sounds like the kind of childhood that kind of spurs you on to be the greatest version of yourself.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and you also, Dick, you played college ball in the area as well, right?
Yeah, that's correct, Sean. I went to Quin Cities A&T.
Uh huh. It's Tom, and Tom.
I don't know why that's not sticking with me. I'm sorry. Uh-huh.
That's okay. What do you think my name is now?
Bert.
Okay, it's really not sticking with you. Wow. No worries.
Okay.
In the field of corrections, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but doesn't the A&T in the Quin Cities A&T stands for it doesn't stand. Like most schools, A&T is agriculture and technical, not that for the Quin Cities A&T.
No, it's not. It actually stands for agricultural and television.
And television.
And I had a double major at that point. I was doing agricultural engineering and also advanced sitcom acting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the latter served me very well in my post-football years. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it definitely did. You are a true... You've there's a lot of chapters in the book about Dick Blevins.
Use the R word. You can. I don't care.
The what?
Renaissance man. Actually, that's two words.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess you're a bit of a Renaissance man.
What's this a bit of stuff?
Okay, well, it's a turn of phrase. I guess you're a Renaissance man. Is that better?
No, you said I guess. It's still like you're not sold on it.
You're
it's
a
like
Renaissance
man. I'm twisting your arm to tell you say it.
You are... You know what? You are definitely a Renaissance man, Mr. Blevins.
I accept that. Thank you so much. That's so nice of you to say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You know, I guess we can talk more about the TV stuff later, but I still want to just hear some of this football.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, post-college, I got drafted by the Giants in 83, and what a thrill that was to not have to even leave the area. You know, I didn't have to go cross country and start a whole new life. I was able to stay in New Jersey, and I'll tell you, man, what a gift it was to be taken under Coach Parcells' wing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I might start, you know, getting misty talking about him, but a true teacher of both football and life, you know, the life stuff being even more important than the football, all the football things I learned from him. And you know, Coach Parcells always said, it may look like you're carrying me on your shoulders after victory, but you're really carrying us all during that.
It
may look like you're carrying me on your shoulders after victory, but you're really carrying us all during that.
All right, and he didn't write that. That seems like he maybe said it in a... It's. I get the intent of it. It's very...
No, he wrote it. It was on the back of our T-shirts.
I'm not sure about the all during that part of the... If he wrote that, that seems a little clunky, but that's...
I'll be glad to send you a T-shirt with it on.
You know what? I would take you up on that.
Okay.
I'd love to get a shirt with that catchphrase on it.
Okay. You sound like an extra small.
Uh-huh.
All right?
No, probably a large, extra large.
Oh, okay. I would not have put that voice with that size.
Okay, that's interesting.
I would have guessed, 4'8". Are you 4'8"?
No, I'm a little taller than that.
Okay.
Yeah. Well.
All right. But, you know, it's funny, Coach Parcells' motto there, it's very similar to the sentiment to the Nutrisfelt motto.
Okay.
Which is, of course, the bestest version of you is not the sum of you and you alone, it's all.
Okay. Can I ask you about the when you did join the Giants?
Oh yes, sure, of course.
You were there from 83 to 87.
Right.
And what was that run like?
It was just the greatest. Sure, we worked really hard. You know, those practices, those two-a-days were something else. And in the summer, you do feel like you're going to die out there. I played hard, and to be truthful, I partied just as hard. Mm-hmm. And we were a wild bunch of guys, and we loved to have a good time, sometimes too good a time. And, I met so many great people, and I partied with so many great legends from the entertainment world. Oh,
really?
My God.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyone come to mind?
Oh, my God. The cream of the crop. Off the top of my head, Dolph Lundgren, Fred Ward, Cy Kernan from The Fix, Rutger Hauer, Jerry Speiser, John C. McGinley, Frank Beard. Who else? Treat Williams. Bobby Dahl, Paula Poundstone, mm-hmm. The Fabulous Thunderbirds,
wow.
John Lightman, Mark Hamill, who else? Merle Allen was probably my main hang back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, those are some real heavy hitters. Especially
good stuff, right? Big ones. I also dated a slew of total hotties.
Huh, like any names you can give us?
Samantha Fox, who else? Kelly LeBrock, Ame Julian, Maria Conchita Alonso, Kim Wilde, Kids in America fame.
Sure.
Yeah, we got down all over the place.
Wow, that's a crazy list.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, man, those hard partying days eventually caught up with me around summer of 85.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, by that point, I had a serious lemon chutney addiction.
Wow. Oh, my. I haven't heard that in so long. Lemon chutney. Wow.
Yep.
That drug was a total nightmare here in New Jersey.
It ruined so many lives. And, I don't have to tell you, but for your listeners that might not remember it, people would take this and you'd be tearing your face off and feeding it to your pet zebra, you know. Remember that whole pet craze, that zebra pet craze in the mid-80s? That was a whole thing in and of itself.
When everyone needed, when a zebra was the pet to have.
Yep.
And suddenly there was like a weird influx of zebras. And then people just as quickly lost interest. Once they realized that zebras were mean.
Yep, very mean. The meanest animal, probably.
Then they were just letting their zebras loose.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
And now there's still that zebra. Every once in a while, you still see a wild zebra.
Yep. And the bad thing, and it's tied to this, the lemon chutney thing. Those zebras, when they were young, they got that taste for face,
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just going around trying their best to do some face grazing.
To eat people's faces.
They do, yeah.
Wow. That's, yeah.
I guess if you think about it, they're kind of the bath salts of the animal kingdom.
Wait, lemon chutney, or zebras are.
Zebras are, yes.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Got it?
Yeah, I got it, Dick.
I wasn't being smart. Didn't sound like you grasped the.
I'm sorry. You're right.
I was flowing to you.
I maybe overreacted.
Okay,
I apologize.
Well, sounds like someone I'm talking to might be on a little lemon chutney high.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I'm just busting your bees, pal.
Okay. Well, that's all right. That's cool.
So look, so at that point, I'm really in bad shape, and Coach Parcells, he puts me in this evangelical rehab center, which you may have heard of, called Heaven House.
Huh. Yeah, I've heard of Heaven House.
And that's where I had to go to kick my addiction warm turkey.
You kicked it cold turkey?
No, warm turkey. Warm turkey is where you continue to get effed up, but in smaller incremental doses until you're clean.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of that as a means of kind of... I didn't know it's called warm turkey. I've heard
it
of
is.
People
yes,
kind of lowering...
Yeah. And then there's hot turkey, which is where you pretend to be stopping, for your doctors, but you're not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. So you quit warm turkey.
I did, yes, yeah.
And that was a crazy, that's kind of a capper to a very, very intense, crazy era.
Yes, yeah, and there was a lot of weird stuff during that time.
Yeah,
sure.
One thing that I have been dying to ask you,
mm-hmm.
You actually made a few, records during that time.
I did, yeah. It's I'll tell you, it's not something I really want to be known for, and when I do eventually kick it, I would prefer that not be anywhere in my story. But I had a bunch of musician friends back then, and I had a pretty decent singing voice, so I would. Because I was famous, I was famous as an athlete, I would get these offers to record songs.
Mm-hmm. And the records were, again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but they were weird records. They were very strange.
They were. And I'll tell you, I was getting clean at that point, and then I'd relapse, so I'd get clean and I'd relapse over and over again during those off seasons, because I didn't have anything else to do. And I'd get really gung-ho about being, wholesome and clean, and I'd cut a gospel record.
Uh-huh.
Like one was called Bathed in the Holy Blood of Sobriety. And I'd do these church appearances where I'd go, and I'd sing and I'd preach my story, about being down and out and then, finding my way and that sort of thing. And then, inevitably I'd go on a bender and I'd get all messed up again and I'd fall off the wagon and I'd go in and I'd cut a song like This D Isn't Gonna S Itself. And I'd do a run of shows with, like a band like Anti-Scene from Charlotte, who I'm sure is having a G.G. Allin connection.
Connect, definitely, yes. They had they were kind of in the same, pipeline.
That was a loss, man. I'll tell you, I still can't believe it. How long? It was 1993 that he passed on to thine heavenly kingdom?
Yeah, and he loved football.
He did, I'll tell you. No one knows this. This is a bombshell revelation.
Mm-hmm.
The jockstrap he's buried in?
Yeah.
That was mine.
Wow.
Oh, I don't want to tell you how he got it or how I gave it to him, but...
But he loved the old pigskin.
He did.
I remember hearing stories about G.G. Allin before shows.
Right.
He would always tour with a football. And that he would just look for people he could just throw the ball around to kind of get loose before a show.
Yes.
And I remember hearing, and maybe you can confirm this,
mm-hmm.
He had a real cannon of an arm.
He did have a real cannon of an arm. And it's funny... Nobody could catch those balls.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, nobody wanted to catch the balls because he put something on the balls before he'd throw them.
Which is kind of the opposite of what a quarterback would do.
Exactly.
You don't want to make the ball uncatchable.
Yeah, he would kind of slather it with something.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Wow. But that, that was a crazy time, huh?
It was, yeah. But, thankfully everything evened out. By that time of Super Bowl 22 and the win, and that was January of 1987. And by then I was very much on the road to a full recovery, and I've been able to remain healthy both mentally and physically ever since.
That's truly great to hear, Dick.
Thank you. And I'll tell you, a big part of that is the support and nutrition I get from NutriSvelte. I found that NutriSvelte
I just want to keep things more kind of career based, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. Yes. Yeah.
We've been getting a lot of tweets from listeners, and they've got some really good questions. Would that be something I could ask you a couple questions?
Oh, of course. I always love to hear from my fans. Absolutely.
Here's someone at Andy Kindler writes, "You've worked tirelessly for the NFL Players Health Fund. Where would you like to see things headed in terms of health care for veteran players?"
Well, thanks for that question, Angie. You sound like a very bright girl, and I would love to meet you in person someday if we ever are in the same area. But getting to your question, it's so important to look after our vets and to keep them healthy in terms of, everything from medical attention to whatever treatment they might need, and also, of course, to diet. A lot of these guys were so on top of their physical upkeep while they played the game. But, then, of course, when they stop playing, they want to eat all the things they couldn't eat before. Mm-hmm. They want to just, have seconds and thirds of dessert and things like that. And they stop taking care of themselves. And when it comes to diet, that's why I love NutriSvelte so much. I think it's a wonderful program. And, from everything from their deliciously naughty yet low-calorie triple fudge drizzled peanut butter nubs to their pepper-rubbed super savory Salisbury steak balls, NutriSvelte has something for everyone who loves good food but also loves looking and feeling great.
Here's another one from Hallie Haglund asks, "There's been a lot of debate about whether or not young kids and even high schoolers should participate in football because of serious injury risk. What's your opinion?"
Well, thanks for your question, Hal. You sound like a very nice young man. But I do think it's a very important discussion that's taking place now about our children and whether or not football is safe at all for them to play. And I do think a lot of factors need to be weighed, including diet. Let's be honest. So many of our kids don't know the first thing about portion control. And I'll tell you, that's why these NutriSvelte prepackaged fun lunches are such a godsend. Your kids get a balanced yet nutritious lunch that tastes great and won't leave him or her hungry.
Okay, we got one more question for Dick Blevins coming in here on Twitter from Jake Fogelnest out in Hollywood.
Whoa.
He wants to know.
Hang on.
What's that?
I don't know who that is, but I'll tell you one thing.
What's that?
That name commands respect.
Okay.
All right, and I'll tell you, there's no way a cat with a name like that isn't verified.
Verified? Right? He is verified.
I knew it. I could tell. I could just hear it.
You could hear the blue check.
I could, yes.
Yeah, he's verified, and it's not easy getting that blue check. The guy who screens calls for the show still doesn't have one.
Is that right?
No, still can't get the blue check.
Oh, man, I guess maybe it's who this Fogelnoost?
Jake Fogel.
Yeah, is he like a TV honcho or something? What's going
He's
on with him?
He's a TV writer and producer, yes.
Ooh, okay. Got some heat. Sounds like some heat there.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, he's. I think he does have some heat.
What kind of music is he into? Sounds like he might be into, let me guess.
What would you guess?
I will guess, who's the band that did the song? Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Crack that whip. Bum, 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 bum.
Yes,
it's called Crack That Whip. What's it called?
It's a song called Whip It, actually.
Whip It.
And that's by Devo, and he is a big Devo fan, yes.
See, I'm kind of psychic. I'm like musically psychic, I think.
Wow.
Anyway, what's his question?
His question is he wants to know, basically, you know, Jake's a TV fan. He wants to know which of your TV acting experiences were your favorite.
Oh, man. You know, they were all great experiences. But, you know, they were all kind of different in their own way. Like, you know, take Father Football, for instance. That was a situation comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that show a lot. And would you be able to give people who might not know the show, like younger listeners, a quick description of what Father Football was about?
Sure. Father Football, it's the story of a former football legend named Gregory Grit Grummond. It's a great name, right?
Yeah.
And after a great NFL career, Grit looks himself in the mirror and he realizes, hey, my life has no purpose at all at this point. I'm done with football. That was all I worked on my whole life. So what does he do next? He decides to become the chaplain for the football team he played for.
Okay, yeah.
But due to this weird snafu and this red tape, he finds out that he has been appointed the chaplain of a team that's playing in the Women's Football League. A little twist there.
Yeah.
Now, Grit, he's the kind of guy who thinks a woman's place is in the kitchen, most likely serving up one of those delicious Nutrisvelt shakes, right? But now he finds himself spiritually counseling women about their moral dilemmas. Very odd situation to find yourself in. So he's so far out of his comfort zone. But he continues to preach the good book to his flock from behind this regal oak podium. You know, trying to get them to realize that the path to heaven is paved with a strong offensive line.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
Really fun. We had such a blast making it. It was really great.
Yeah, and you actually, that was not your only endeavor.
No.
You did after Father Football. There was a sitcom. It was more of a political show called Mr. Secretary.
Yep, that was a fun one, too. I played Teddy Touchdown Mulcahy, and a player who gets injured in the Super Bowl, okay, and he makes an interception, and he's running for a touchdown when his knee basically just explodes on the one-yard line, so he almost makes this touchdown, but he's out. He can never play again. And the team loses the game, and basically this guy's the joke of America. And, you know, he's in his hospital bed, and he's thinking, do I even want to live anymore? And he gets a phone call, and it's from the President of the United States. Turns out the President was watching the game at the White House, and he feels really bad for Teddy. So he offers him a job to be his new press secretary. All right,
yeah.
And since Teddy's out of the game, he's got nothing else to do. He accepts the job, and suddenly he finds himself going from the gridiron to the political football field.
Yeah,
and so, you know, like this guy Sean Spicer, who I'm a big fan of. Teddy's in the press room every day, and he's briefing the press about what's going on, and he's standing behind this really cool oak podium, and. Tell you, if he thought he knew what it was like to get sacked before, he's in for a very rude awakening now.
Yeah, it was something else, and it was to see you there doing the show from the, like, talking to the press.
Yep.
Up there with that podium and just doing your thing. It was it was a very different kind of show than you'd expect from a professional athlete.
Well, thank you. I think I was particularly good in that one. But I'll tell you, the show I was most proudest of was The Moving Man Mysteries.
The Moving Man Mysteries. I don't know about this.
You don't remember that one?
No.
Well, You know, it was a summer replacement that only ran for 8 episodes, and basically the brass at NBC pulled a combination choke job slash ball drop on it, and it just didn't have the time that it needed to find an audience, so that was very disappointing.
Now, what was the Moving Man Mysteries even about?
Well, it was the story of a moving man named Bill Boxinski, who went by the name Box. That was, you know, his nickname.
Okay.
And he ran a moving company. But, you know, there's something a little different about Bill. In addition to lugging boxes, he was also a detective. And he solved crimes while going into different houses to move packages. So, like, one time he's moving a dresser and he realizes, hey, there's dried blood on the corner of this thing. What's going on here? So he digs deeper and he realizes that the owner of the house was murdered. But they found his body in a car accident. That's where he was found dead. So Bach starts piecing things together to determine eventually that the victim was killed in the house. And then the body was placed in a car which had a brick put on the gas pedal, you know, so it exploded and went into a wall or something. So he would find things like that. He would solve crimes like that. And the cool twist was that he was always solving the cases while moving things.
Mm-hmm.
So he was always standing behind this extra fancy tall hand cart that was loaded with stuff, with furniture and boxes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I just realized, and never had thought about this before, you're always, on the shows you've done, it seems like you're always standing behind something on all the shows. Like a preacher's podium, or the press secretary podium, and then the hand cart, and all the boxes you were moving.
Yeah, it's because I remember my lines.
Wait, what was that? Could you repeat that?
That's because I could never remember my lines, and the only way they could get through like a whole take is if I had my script in front of me and it had to be placed on something. So
they would put you behind podiums.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah.
The podium was easiest because it actually needed to be there. But I'll tell you, man, those outdoor scenes were tough because it would be like, why is he standing behind that car? Like, why isn't his whole body in view? Why is he why is he laying down next to that tree trunk?
And I'm assuming with the Moving Man Mysteries, there must have been some action sequences.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, I would eventually we figured out a way where the cart kind of served a purpose of being like my little, almost like my little cop car in a way, you know. So I'd chase after someone on my little moving cart, but there'd be some boxes on the cart, and that's where my script was placed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the script had to be, of course, the same color as whatever it was sitting on, so you couldn't really see it. So yeah, it was. I'll tell you that I really didn't want to talk about that aspect of my work, but. Yeah, thanks.
Well, that's okay. I mean, it's nothing. You weren't a born actor. You grew into it, and you needed a little help.
Yeah. Well, none of us were.
Yeah. I mean, because that was a time when you were not the only football player. There were other football players like Fred Dreyer and Merlin Olsen and Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
Also doing plenty of acting in TV and movies.
Yeah, all those guys. That was a tough time, you know. We all find ourselves up for the same role, you know. And sometimes you got it, sometimes you didn't get it. And I tell you, I had a pretty sizable rivalry with Dick Butkus. You know, he already been in a bunch of movies, and he had TV experience by then. So I became known as New York Dick, you know, or the other Dick, or worse, you know, because I was shorter than Dick Butkus. I was sometimes called Little Dick.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, which I didn't like at all.
No, I could see, yeah, that might not be your favorite nickname.
No, not at all.
Of the whole bunch.
Yeah.
But, you know, but you still differentiated yourself.
I did, yeah. And I'll tell you one thing. I had better comedy chops than all those other jock actors.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you, man. I just wish 3 out of 4 scripted TV shows back in 1990 had been about stand-up comedy like they are today. I'd be the king of television.
A lot of shows about stand-up comedy, although you'd be doing stand-up behind a podium.
That's true, but, I could make that work. I think anything's believable now, right?
I guess so. It's people are so fascinated by how someone writes some jokes and then tells them on a stage.
It is fascinating, and it's fascinating to know all about it. Like the where do they sleep? What do they eat?
Yeah, like what do they eat after a show?
After a show, do they go out? Do they drink? Do they hook up?
Yeah.
You know, how do they decide what's going to be in that tight five?
Yeah, like if they
what
go
gets
to,
tossed.
And if they go to a diner afterwards, it's like, are they sharing an order of fries? Or is everybody just eating the fries that come with their burger?
It's true. It's fascinating. It's endlessly fascinating. I wish there could be more shows about it.
Oh, there will be. Don't worry, Dick.
I hope so.
Your wish is going to come true.
I just hope some of them like take place in the past. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think those are coming also.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I'm getting ready to shoot a Nutrisvelt commercial this week. And I'll tell you, this is the most challenging thing I've had to do yet.
Why is that?
Well, Tom, anyone who's watched even the smallest amount of TV lately knows that 80% of the commercials airing feature men, women, or children playing the drums. And this new Nutrisvelt commercial is no different.
So you're playing the drums in this commercial?
I am, yes. Can you guess what I'm going to wear in the commercial while I'm playing the drums?
So, is it a tiny fedora?
It is, yes. They're the coolest, right? You have one, right?
I don't.
I just got into these things. They're great. They're great fun. They look cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I actually have a drum kit in my house here, and I'd love to just play what I'm going to play in the thing. I'm really just new to drumming, but I can kind of do it all right.
Oh, okay. Would love to hear some.
You know what that is, right? It's blues.
That was some blues drumming.
Yeah, it's that song Manish Boy. Have you ever heard that song? It's by Muddy Waters.
Waters.
What is it?
Muddy Waters.
Oh, I thought it was Muddy Walters.
No, it's not Walters. It's Waters.
Well, it's that song, you know, he said something and then the other guys yell at him like, he'll say, I was doing this and blah, and they go, yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, I know the song.
Can you help me with this? What other songs are there where several young men cheer on an elderly man while he brags about his sexual techniques?
I think that might be the only one. I don't know if it's the only one ever. It's the only one I've ever heard of.
It's a genre that's worth exploring. I wish there were more songs like that because I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I think if you're interested in it, it might be a pretty easy, short-lived hobby for you.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll tell you, I'm going to turn the people onto it when I get on the set for the Nutrisvelt commercial. Uh-huh. It's going to be great.
Hey, can I just? I just have to say, I was when I was asked to do this, it was a straight interview. It was what everything was supposed to be, and it's kind of unavoidable here. I guess I have to address the Nutrisvelt elephant in the room.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Nutrisvelt, Tom.
Okay. I actually didn't mention it the way you're looking for me to mention it.
Well, I could tell you were going to,
yeah,
right?
I got to just... Okay, sure. I just have to say...
Yeah.
Every topic I've brought up, no matter what it is, you've managed to divert it to Nutrisvelt. which I have to also say, Nutrisvelte is a very weird name for a product.
What? No, it's not. It rolls off the tongue. And there's no chance at all that you would mishear it.
Nutrisvelte.
Yeah.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Hmm.
You really seem to be a pretty big believer in Nutrisvelte, huh, Dick?
Of course I am. Of course I am. Are you kidding? Nutrisvelte is a life-saving product. It's tremendous, and I'll tell you, I'd be championing Nutrisvelte even if they weren't paying me anything. Mm-hmm.
But yes, they are paying you, and I'm sure they're paying you a lot of money, right?
Yeah, they are. But like I said, it's a life-changer, Tom, and I'll tell you, 100% of the people who try Nutrisvelte, they achieve their weight loss goals and they stick with it.
Uh-huh. 100% success rate.
Yes.
That actually does not seem possible.
Hey, I've done my research. Now you do yours.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's very strange to put a... I have to prove that. I can just say that if people... I'm sure we could all use help trying to stay healthy and stay fit. And
yeah.
Numbers like that are hard to argue with.
Right? I mean, it's 100%. You literally can't go wrong with it.
100%.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Because it's something I'm interested in, but...
There's no buts about this, Tom. It works.
All right. You know what, Dick? I got to say, I wasn't nuts about you working it in all the time. But you're telling me it's 100%. I could use a little kickstarting with this, and I'm going to sign up for Nutrisvelte first thing in the morning.
Don't do it, Tom.
What's that?
Don't do it.
Don't do what?
Nutrisvelte.
Wait, but you after what you just did on the every question, you hyped Nutrisvelte. You're telling me not to do it?
I have to do that.
Why?
Steve Herbers, the CEO of Nutrisvelte, he's got all this dirt on me from back in the 80s. Real sick, sick stuff. And he forced me to do Nutrisvelte. And now I found myself stuck in this Scientology / get out / the ruin scenario.
Okay, I mean, I get the Scientology and the and get out. What is the ruins?
You never seen The Ruins?
No.
Well, it's, oh my gosh, this scary book. Basically, it was made into a movie that wasn't great, but the book is good. It's these college kids, and they go down to Mexico, and they find these ruins that they're looking for. And they are about to, take pictures of it and kind of have fun on it. And then these local guys come up, the local sheriff. And they see these gringos by the ruins, and then one of them takes a step back, and then they realize that their foot is entwined in these vines.
Mm-hmm.
And once the vines get you, you're done. They can't let you leave the ruins, and they all get stuck in the vines, and they all have to go up in the ruins, and they have to stay there. And if they try to get out, the local sheriff will kill them. So they're stuck there. So that's how kind of I'm stuck in this whole thing. That's a digression, though.
Yeah, that was a scenic route to the... You could have just said it was a Scientology get-out scenario.
Yeah, but I wanted to turn people on. It's a very scary book. Anyway, Tom, the most unsettling part of this whole thing...
What's that, Dick?
Nutrisvelte.
Yeah?
It's made...
Yeah?
From...
Yeah?
Human body parts.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh.
Mainly noses and toe tips, but still.
Oh, that's disgusting. It doesn't matter if it's just noses and toe tips.
I know,
it's
right?
Still human body parts.
I know. It's sick. It's sick. It's a whole sick racket, and then you get addicted to it. It's awful. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What is that?
It's the Nutrisvelte not-so-secret police. It actually says it on the back of their flak jackets. That's really kind of odd, isn't it?
It says not-so-secret police.
Yes.
That is weird.
I don't quite get it. Oh, no. they're going to drag me off to something akin to what that mousy chick from Mad Men gets thrown into in The Handmaid's Tale. Have you seen this? Decent show. Very scary. Very weird.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like it. I'm only 3 episodes in.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing. What's Never that? In my life did I expect to tune into that show and hear a Blue Oyster Cult reference, but there is one. See, second episode. Very odd.
That is strange that a show like that would make a Blue Oyster Cult reference.
Very crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're coming in! Oh, no! Oh, my God, they're lasering my ass!
Dick?
Oh, I thought they were done. They're not. Like a sub-laser. It's really getting my haunches. I guess they saved the lower-powered one for your haunches, which I'm not into.
And how do you feel right
now? Oh. A little bad seeds there. Anyway, I gotta go.
Dick? Oh, that's a weird... That is weird. Dick Blevins. Very strange. Very strange. Very strange. Thanks again for listening to Best Show Best. Much thanks to Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Celis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, of course, John Worster. Marcia Neumeyer, and you, the Best Show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net. And support The Best Show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.